بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب، أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني، فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. وقال تعالى: الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. وقال تعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, it's an honor to be able to come and stand in front of you, and inshallah, firstly for myself, that anything that's going to be said is for myself firstly, and then obviously we will all benefit, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that set a reminder for each other, because reminding each other is beneficial. In this world, my dear brothers and elders, if we were to go to a shop and we see an offer, straight away we ring our family, our brothers, the friends, and we tell them about an offer, because usually this thing is not an offer. So we remind each other and we tell each other about the things so that we can benefit. So not only you are benefiting, but you and your family members, your friends to benefit also. So the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us these talks, and He's, you know, the imam and whoever comes here and gives us a talk, it might be a small talk, it might be a big talk, the reminders, there's always something we can take. So my dear respected brothers and elders, our deen and our Islam that we have, it's something that's not as complex and as difficult and as hard as we think it is. Now, firstly, the easiest way to understand is the word Islam itself. What does it mean? The word Islam itself means submission. That we submit to Allah, that whatever command Allah has given, whatever the words and actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are, we submit to these. And after we submit, we don't really have a choice of choosing, or do I do this or do I do this. It's a submission. You've submitted now. So whatever Allah gives, whatever Allah commands, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said and did, we have to follow this now, because that's our submission. And our belief is in the unseen, that whatever good I will do, whatever wrong I will do, I will either get rewarded, I will either get punished. So when we look at Islam in the sense that I have submitted to Allah, so whatever Allah commands me now, I will do it. Like if there's a son and he says to his father, "Oh father, I submit to you. Whatever you say to me, I will do." And then the son, he gets told to do something and he doesn't do it. The father will turn around and say that you submitted to me. You promised and you submitted and you said that you will do whatever. But when I am telling you, you're not really doing. So this is how, if we understand deen like this, that we have submitted to Allah. So now whatever Allah says, I don't have a choice, I don't have a say. You know, if Allah says you're going to read your 5 times namaz a day in the masjid for the men, then I've got to do it. I don't really have a choice. Oh, I'll miss my fajr, but I'll go for my duhur. I'll miss my asr, I'll go for my maghrib. So you don't really have a choice. It's either all five or whatever you can do. And that's the main thing. So when we understand deen like this, it becomes easier for us to focus and understand the commands of Allah. Because when Allah then gives a command, you don't think twice. This is the difference between us and the Sahaba. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were given a command by Rasulullah, or they were given a command of Allah, they never used to question the command of Allah. They used to just do. You know, Ali radiallahu anhu, he was told by his wife Fatima radiallahu anha, who was the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that go to my father and she was told by Ali radiallahu anhu that you go to your dad, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and say to him that we've not eaten in so many days, we don't have any food, you know, please provide us maybe something. So Ali radiallahu anhu went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fatima radiallahu anha went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his daughter, imagine, he says to his daughter that, "Oh Fatima, shall I tell you something better than whatever you're asking me?" So she says, "Oh Prophet of Allah, what is it?" So Prophet ﷺ says, after every salah, read Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. And that's why this tasbih is known as tasbih Fatimi, because it came from her. So many, many, many years later, Ali radiallahu anhu was, someone asked Ali radiallahu anhu for some advice. Ali radiallahu anhu said to this person, that I am going to advise you to read Tasbih Fatimi after every salah. And Ali radiallahu anhu says that ever since we were told to read this, I have never missed it. This is obeying the commands of Allah. That even in hard times, we still follow the commands. In easy times, in good times, we still follow the commands of Allah. And this is our struggle. Rasulullah ﷺ lived his whole life struggling. And also we will struggle. You know, struggle is part of life. So it's important that we understand the commands of Allah. So obviously now we've got the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah coming up. In the hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ says that these are the best 10 days of the year. You know, when Ramadan comes, usually we all make resolutions. And we say that, okay, I'm going to make sure that this Ramadan, I pray all my tahajjud. I make sure this Ramadan, I'll pray my Quran every day. I'll make sure I'll do tasbih every day. So we make resolutions. I'm not going to backbite. I'm not going to have any jealousy or hatred in my heart. I'm going to make sure I'm good to my neighbors. So everyone has different resolutions in Ramadan. And Ramadan, when Ramadan comes, it's a very exciting time. You know, a lot of people start coming to the masjid and the masjid is nice and full and it's busy and people are here, they're reading Quran, they're doing tasbih, they're remembering Allah, they're crying in the du'as, etc., etc. And you know, Ramadan comes and it's a good atmosphere, it's a good environment to be in. These 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are better than Ramadan. So these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah that are coming up, these 10 days, they are better than Ramadan. So in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these 10 days are better. So it means that we should spend these 10 days worshipping Allah even more than what we did in Ramadan. You know, Ramadan is the month of Quran. This is what Ramadan is known as, is the month of Quran. These 10 days are known as the month of dhikr, the month of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can. Because this is what's important. The more we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closer we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And that's, you know, it's a common thing, it's a normal thing. Anything you remember more, you love it more, you wanna be around it more. So the more remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the better it is for me and you. We will save ourselves from Jahannam, we will save ourselves from the hellfire, we will save ourselves from the punishment of the grave, we will save ourselves from atrocities and from difficulties in this world. You know, it's not only the next world that, okay, when I remember Allah, Allah will not punish me, it's also this world. Allah will save us from many, many things in this world too. So the Dhul Hijjah days that are coming, you know, in our life, in a whole year, we have different seasons. We have the winter, we have autumn, we have summer, etc. We have different seasons. The same way we have seasons of Allah's mercy. Allah's mercy comes in different seasons, different times. So for example, in a week, it comes on a Friday. Allah's mercy is there all the time, but there's different seasons where Allah's mercy is more. There's more, Allah's mercy is more powerful. So the Friday in the week is this, you know, is the day of the week where we remember Allah and we look for that one moment where if we ask Allah for whatever we want, Allah will give us. So these 10 days are like the season. It's a season that's coming up for us Muslims, right? Where we can now remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this season. And Allah's mercy is more. Allah's ready to forgive more. Allah's ready to give more. So these 10 days that come, we don't just waste them. We benefit as much as we can. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith that there are no better days in the sight of Allah than the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Like I mentioned earlier, right? It's mentioned in a book called Ibn Hibban, which is a sahih hadith. It's a valid narration where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best 10 days are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So we need to make the most of these 10 days. And also in these 10 days, obviously we sacrifice and we do qurbani. Now, the reason we do sacrifice is because Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made Hijr Qurbani. But the real reason of Qurbani and sacrifice on this day is to attain taqwa, is to attain the fear of Allah in our hearts. My dear special brothers and elders, taqwa and fear of Allah is abstaining from wrong and making sure we do good when it's time to do good. This is taqwa. And taqwa is hardest in times that we are living in. Because there's fitna and there's fasad and there's trials and tribulations everywhere. Every corner we turn, there's something that is going to take us away, something that's going to pull us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So making sure that in these days of trials and tribulations that we are living in, we are turning to Allah as much as we can. As much as we can. So this qurbani is meant for what? To attain taqwa in our life. So it's very, very important. So my dear respected brothers and elders, and also the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah is known as the day of the ultimate mercy. And a Jewish man once came to Umar radiallahu anhu and said, Umar, there is one verse in the Quran that if it was revealed to us, we would celebrate this day. So Umar radiallahu anhu goes, I know which ayah you're talking about. It's Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Because this was the day, the Arafah day was the day where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was revealed, it was revealed to him the ayah, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, that today I have completed your deen. Our deen was completed on the day of Arafah. So my dear respected brothers and elders, these virtues that we hear, every year we hear them, maybe we read them, maybe we listen to them, but whatever these virtues are, we need to make sure that we keep these at the forefront. Whenever we are worshipping Allah, we keep these at the forefront and we worship Allah according to what we are hearing, according to what virtues and what reward Allah is going to give us. Because Allah's rewards are vast. Allah's reward is massive, is huge. You know, just for reading Alif, Allah is ready to give us 10 rewards. So imagine actually fasting. So in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Arafah, the first 9 days, he used to fast. So if we are not able to fast, at least the day of Arafah, the one day, if you can't fast all the day, at least one day, we should fast. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when something like Ramadan used to come, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to start fasting a couple of months before. You know, a couple of months before, so when Ramadan comes, he's ready. You know, the example given is like the example of a fan. You know, if you have a fan and you switch the fan off, the fan doesn't just stop. The fan slowly stops till eventually it comes to a standstill. The same way, my dear respected brothers, imagine we have been sinning for 11 months and then we think, okay, tomorrow is Ramadan. As soon as Ramadan will start, I'll stop sinning. So you might actually stop sinning, but as Ramadan goes and you know, you start getting to your old habits again, by the end of Ramadan, by the time of Eid comes, you're back into your old habits again. So we should prepare, like the same way Prophet used to prepare for Ramadan, we should prepare the same way. So it's very important. So we've got the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah coming up. So now we know that it's about a week away. So that we can start preparing from now. So for example, today I'll wake up for tahajjud, maybe for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then tomorrow, another 10, 15 minutes. And then maybe the third day, maybe 20 minutes. So we increase. So by the time the first day of the 10 days that come, we are already into a routine of waking up. So it's very important that we make ourselves understand this, that everything is a process. There's a process to everything. We don't just wake up one day and you know, you're a sheikh or you're a pious man. It doesn't work like that. You have to make effort behind it. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sahaba, the companions, they made effort and they showed us what it means. You know, we can't be like them. We can't be this exact like them because they were different. But what we can do is try to be like them. At least try. You know, there was a sheikh and he mentioned, he said that when we look at Jannah, when we look at Jannah, we look at it in different forms. So we look at ours, how we look at Jannah, and we'll compare it to how the Sahaba and the companions looked at Jannah. Right? And the difference is that the Sahaba only wanted Jannah. We also want Jannah. So we want this world and we also want Jannah. Sahabas only wanted Jannah. They didn't care about this world. For them, this world was just a place where you're just passing through. So they didn't really care about if they were given something good in this world, Alhamdulillah. If they weren't given, still Alhamdulillah. When we are given something in this world, Alhamdulillah. When we are not given, we start complaining. Because this world matters to me and you. For the Sahaba and the companions, this world didn't really matter. And that's the difference. That they only wanted Allah and Allah's happiness. You know, Rasulullah, there used to be this Sahabi, I think he was called Utbah. Now, this Sahabi, he used to bring the water, the bowl of water which Rasulullah used to make wudu with. So every morning when Rasulullah used to wake for Fajr or Tahajjud, he used to bring this bowl of water for Rasulullah. Rasulullah used to use this water to make wudu, to make ablution. So one day Rasulullah he woke up and he went, and this Sahabi, he was very young, under the age of 15, he came and he presented Rasulullah this bowl of water. Rasulullah looked at the state of this Sahabi and he must have felt sorry for him. He said, O Utbah, if that, I can't remember his name correctly, but he said, O Utbah, if make a wish, make any wish, whatever wish you make, I'll make dua to Allah and Allah will grant it to you. Imagine that was me and you. If Rasulullah came to me and you and said to us, make a wish, and he's Rasulullah, he's not just some normal, you know, person or some sheikh, he's Rasulullah. Any dua he makes, Allah is going to accept. Any dua. He says, "Oh Rasulullah, the only thing I want is to be with you in Jannah. That's the only thing I want." So then this Rasulullah says to Utbah, "Utbah, make a wish. You know, like actually make a wish. Don't just say that you want to be, make a wish." Utbah goes, "Oh Rasulullah, there's nothing. I don't wish for nothing. There's nothing I want. The only thing I want is to be with you in Jannah." He says, "Oh Utbah, you've asked me for something really big. What have you asked me for is massive. And if you want to be with me in Jannah, then you need to read more nafil." So my dear respected brothers and elders, being close to Allah, being in Jannah and all these things, we have to understand it, that this world that we are living in is just a way of passing by. It's like you're traveling from here to Leicester or London and we stop somewhere in between for a little break. We're tired, we're going to get refreshed or something, so we stop. You know, we don't start looking for a job where we stop. We don't start building a house, or we don't start looking for friends. And no, we're just stopping. And we're going to, our actual destination is London or Leicester or whatever place we are going to. So the same way, our goal, our destination is Jannah. We are just in this world, we are just passing by. And there's nothing more to it. Right? And it's very easy to understand that we are just here, we're just passing by. Every minute goes by, every hour goes by. You know, I'm sure for most of us that sat here, we probably know some people who are probably free to be here right now, but they aren't, because Allah has only given you the tawfiq to be here. There must be something good you have done, there must be something good you have said, there must be something good you have thought, that because of this Allah is now rewarding you with what? Allah is putting you into these places where the remembrance of Allah is taking place. That these places are so beloved to Allah that the angels, they pile on top of each other till they reach the arsh of Allah. So from here till the seventh heaven. And then when they come to Allah and they get to the top, Allah says, "Oh angels, what are you doing? Oh, we've come from such and such a gathering where they were remembering you." Allah will say, "Oh, have they ever seen Jannah?" They'll say, "Oh Allah, they've never seen Jannah, but they're talking about Jannah." Then, "Have they ever seen Jahannam?" "No, but they're talking about Jahannam, but they've never seen Jahannam." Allah then says that, "I want all you angels to be my witness. I have forgiven all their sins. Every sin." So right now, if maybe we thought of something bad, or maybe we did some sin, which wasn't a major sin, something, you know, maybe we swore, or maybe we said something that we weren't supposed to say, maybe we hurt someone that we weren't supposed to hurt, or something, a minor sin, Allah has forgiven it. And maybe there's someone here who wasn't supposed to be here, or who thought, "Ah, you know what, my dad brought me here, so I just got to sit now. You know, my friend brought me here, and I didn't really want to be here." So even these types of people, Allah forgives these people. Even if you didn't want to be, Allah forgives you. Allah looks for excuses to forgive us. You know, Allah, He has given us Ramadan, He has given us the 10 days of the Hijjah, He has given us these days. Why? Because He wants to forgive us. You know, I read something the other day, and it said we can take a billion or a million steps away from Allah. We can take a million or a billion steps away from Allah, but if you want to go back to Allah, you only take one step back. If you want to get back to Allah, only one step. You can go a billion steps away from Allah, do as much sin as you want, right? Cause as much havoc as you want. But when you want to get back to Allah, it's just one step. You just take one step back and you're back to Allah again. It's, imagine the love of Allah. Imagine, you know, sometimes we don't think very deep about what Allah has given us, what Rasulullah has told us. Everything that He has given, everything He has told, these things are not just for us to just think that, "Oh yeah, you know, I hear it all the time." It's nothing that, think about it. Think about the stories. Like, think about the sacrifices. Everything in this world has been given to us by sacrifice. Someone in Lancaster, a long time ago, I don't know how long ago, but maybe some time ago, they made some sort of sacrifice and this building came into existence and they made a masjid here. And now then they got an imam, and then the imam came here and he's been doing effort for 4 or 5 years, and now we've got community growing here. Right? And now we've got people coming, they've got talks and they have gatherings and they have youth programs. And one person's effort, or maybe two people's effort, some time back. And because of someone's effort, now all this comes into existence. So someone had to sacrifice something somewhere. So Rasulullah sacrificed, now we see the fruits. Someone has sacrificed here, we are seeing the blessings of this. Right? We are lucky to be able to, you know, live in these places where we've got a masjid, you know, we've got gatherings. It's not just having a masjid, there's loads of masjids around. You go to Blackburn, there's over 60 masjids, right? But not every masjid has a program. So we should thank, you know, the imam, maybe even the committee people who are organizing these programs for us. And try to bring as many people as we can. Because the more, the better. You know, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلِى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَىٰ. Allah says in the Quran that help each other in doing good. So if you're bringing along 5 people, you're listening, they're listening, but whatever they are taking away from the talk and they are going back, Whatever good actions they will do, you are going to get the reward for it. So you will be in yoga, and there'll be a person on the day of judgment, he'll come and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will open his book of deeds, and his book of deeds will be massive. And have so much good in it. He'll say to Allah, oh Allah, this ain't mine, this is someone else's book. You know, I don't remember doing this much good. Allah will say, no, this is definitely yours. He says, oh Allah, this can't be mine. It definitely can't be mine, because I've never done this much good. He says, don't worry, I know it's yours, because when you were in the grave, you had told someone to say something and do this and do that, and you spread deen. So whilst you were in the grave, whatever good they were doing, it was all adding up into your bank. So now that you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've got all this goodness. And then exactly the same way is the wrong. When we invite each other in doing wrong, bro, did you watch that movie? You know, you boy should watch it, bro. It wasn't, you know, you have no idea. Right? So we start telling people about something wrong that we're not supposed to do. Now he goes and watches, and he goes and tells someone else, and they go and tell someone else. We don't even know who the next person that's going to marry might even be from this country. But now all the wrong that's going to happen all comes into your book. Right? So that's why my dear brother, the words, you know, there'll be a person in Jannah, and whilst he's relaxing in Jannah, there'll be a person in Jannah above, and he'll just move on his bed, and because of the movement of him on his bed, a smell of musk will emanate. A smell of musk will come out from his bed. He said to Allah, oh Allah, who is this sheikh? You know, this person must be so pious that he's no, when he moves on his bed, there's a smell of musk. He says, nothing great about the person on top of you. All he did was say one subhanAllah more than you. That's all he did. He said one subhanAllah more than you, and he's got a better Jannah than you. So even in Jannah we have levels. Are we just satisfied with just getting to Jannah, or do we want the best? You know, it's all about our heart, right? What our heart wants. What's in there, right? If I've got a glass of milk, and I put a drop of blood in it, no one's ready to drink it. No one will drink it. No one. Not even the most insane person in this world would drink it. Maybe nowadays someone might, but you know, a normal person with a normal mind won't drink this, because he's like, nah, I can't drink that. It's got a drop of blood in it. It might even be his own blood, but he won't drink it. The same way, how can you stand in front of Allah with our heart and we've got some of the love of the world in it? You know, how can we stand in front of Allah? You know, we present, when we stand in front of Allah, we don't present our body to Allah and say, oh Allah, look, I went to the gym. Or, oh Allah, look at me, I had this much money. Allah doesn't care about all these things. In Allah la yanduru ila suwarikum wala. Allah doesn't look at your body and your whatever. Allah doesn't care about that. Allah just looks at your good actions and your heart. So when you stand in front of Allah, Allah's going to look at your heart. What was in your heart? What was in there? Imagine you present the heart that Allah gave me and you. Allah gave me and you a heart which was clean. Clean from the worldly things, and clean from the love of the world, and all these things that we have in this world which take us away from Allah. And then Allah gave us this heart and we used it in the world. And then we came back to Allah, and when we came back to Allah, we gave Allah the same heart, but it's got the love of the world in it. It's got defects in it. Allah's not going to accept this heart. You know, there's a saying, and it says that a human, he is made from dirt. His whole life he carries dirt in his stomach. And then where does he end up? Back in the dirt. That's all we are, my dear brothers. We're nothing. If we're to Allah, we're nothing. And that's why it's important for us to understand, my dear spiritual brothers and elders, that when we think of ourselves as nothing, then we will bow down to Allah. When we think of ourselves as something, no, I am something, I know more than this guy, I know more than this person, I know more than this person, I pray my namaz all the time, and we start thinking of ourselves, we start building an ego. You might not say it to anyone, but you're building an ego in you. All these things, my dear spiritual brothers and elders, will take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think of yourself as absolutely nothing. I am nothing. I've got a beard, I've got a jubbah, I've got this, and I come from a good family. Doesn't matter. Right? That's just a blessing Allah has given you. That you are ahead because Allah blessed you with something that someone else doesn't have. Now Allah has given you something that someone else doesn't have. So now it's easier for you to worship Allah. You come from a good household where everyone's praying salah. It's easier for you to worship Allah. There's many, many people. There's many people who come from households who absolutely don't read salah. They don't read namaz at all. They don't read salah at all. They don't read Quran at all. So someone in the family starts doing something good, and then the rest of the family follows. You know how hard that is? So my dear spiritual brethren, it's very, very important we understand what Allah wants from us. Right? These days that are coming up, we need to utilize these days. Because Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsa wa amila lima ba'd al-maut wa al-ajizu man dana nafsa huwa wa tamanna ala Allah. A clever and intelligent person is the one who spends his time in this world remembering Allah and doing the things that Allah wants. Because we are here very, 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 very short time. You know, imagine there's a teacher and he's teaching a class. And the class is all, everyone's being naughty, everyone's messing around. And he says, right, now everyone stay quiet for a minute. Whoever stays quiet for a minute, you all get to go home. So everyone's quiet but one boy. He's still naughty in that 1 minute. And then this, you know, the teacher said, okay, all of you can go home. And then that one boy, you were naughty, so you gotta stay behind now. You got detention, you gotta stay behind. The same way with Allah, He sent us into this world. All I want you to do is just be good in this short life. 50, 60, 70 years we're here. I know our life has really, really shortened. You know, sometimes we hear of people who are dying at young ages. So 50, 60, 70 years, on average we live in this world. All I want you to do is 50, 60, 70 years, I want you to worship me. And then you come back to me and I will reward you with Jannah. I will reward you with whatever you want. You know, I was reading this article and it said that a person who sleeps 8 hours a day and he lives for 60 years, he sleeps for 20 years. So imagine starting with Allah. Allah says, you live for 60 years. Tell me what you did in them 60 years. Oh Allah, 20 years I just slept. 20 years, sleeping 8 hours a day and you live for 60 years, 20 years you just sleep. So how much of our life are we actually giving to Allah? How much of our time are we giving to Allah? You know, are we spending most of our time sleeping, most of our time playing, most of our time relaxing? What are we doing? We spend 8 hours at work, on average, minimum. Right? Most of the people, 8 hours at work. That's fine. But how much time are we giving to Allah and His Rasul? How much time are we giving? We should contemplate and think about this. It's very, very important because we can give so much to the world and the world will give us nothing back. Yeah, you'll get money and you'll get through this world. But at the end of the day, when you die, the world gives nothing back. It just swallows you up in its ground and it takes you back out on the day of judgment. But reality is, this world has not been designed for us to use this world for our desires. No, this world, the things that have been made in this world, have just been made so we can utilize them to get through the world. Yeah, we can utilize the things in this world so we can get through the world. We just need to pass through. So it's very, very important. Very, very important. And it's paramount for all of us that we contemplate, we sit down, we do muhasabah, we reflect on what we have done through the day. We reflect on how we are at work. We reflect on all these things, how we are, wherever, in whatever place we are, whatever condition we are, we reflect. Reflection is very, very important. And these days are coming up, like I said. And these days, my dear brothers and elders, these days are very, very important. Very important. We make the most of these days. Spend the nights. Wallah, if you have to sleep 2-3 hours a night for the 10 days, so be it. Why? Because who knows what dua you will make? Who knows what dhikr you will make? Who knows what Quran you will read? That because of this, Allah will reward you. Because of this, Allah will change your heart. Yeah, so we have to be wary that even in these days, we don't sin. Because it works both ways. It works both ways. When Allah's mercy is so powerful and Allah's ready to forgive you, but you're not using that time for forgiveness and you're using that time to do sin, Allah will punish you. And He'll punish you more in this world. So we have to understand that Allah is watching us all the time. Allah is there. Allah is there. Allah is there. All the time, Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Whatever I do, whatever I say, whatever I think, in Allah alim bidhati sudur, Allah knows what's in our heart. Allah knows what we are going to say and what we are going to think even before we think it. Yeah, Allah is there. Allah is there all the time. And understand this, my dear brothers. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent 63 of his life struggling for us. Struggling so that me and you can use this deen. And we, wallahi, we have the deen on a plate. Literally. You know, we have the deen on a plate. You know, we have the Quran, we have the kitabs, we have the imams, we have all these people to tell us what to do. It's just about how much you want to take. How much do you want it? You know, if someone was, you know, if someone was offering us some money, say, brother, invest £10, and all you got to do, you know, like last year sometime, there was this app, right? And this app, whether it was halal or haram, Allah knows best, but this app came, and this app that came out, you put some money in the app, and you press this button 5 times a day, and then with this button, your money, they use your money to buy something, and then they give you a profit. So you were making money just by tapping 5 times a day, right? You were making like 2% on whatever you put inside. So people were using this. Why? Because they've seen the benefit of money. Whether it was halal or haram, that's a different topic. Right? Allah knows best whether it was halal or haram. Allah knows best. Now they were using this. Why? Now people are telling everyone. Wallahi, at work, everyone's telling everyone. I don't know a single person that wasn't doing it at work. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's behind it. Tapping 5 times a day. Why? So they can get the profit. And some people were on £10,000 and £20,000, £100,000. Some people bought houses with the money. Whether it's halal and haram, no one asks. No one wants to know. But does it benefit me? Yeah. This is how we have become. We don't care about halal and haram. We don't care. If Allah says, well, it doesn't matter. It's just 10 grand, 20 grand. It doesn't matter, man. But really, is that how low we have become? That, you know, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he accidentally ate some food which wasn't meant for him. And he put his two fingers in his mouth to vomit it all out, so that no haram goes in his body. And here me and you are dealing with haram, earning haram. We are earning haram, and we are then using this money to feed our kids. And, you know, I'll give some money in charity, no problem. So we have to be very careful, very, very careful. When the commands of Allah are there, we have to understand what the commands of Allah are. Halal and haram, this is a long, long thing, right? We just talk about the easy stuff. Let's just get things straight. What shall I do? Let me start coming to the masjid and pray salah. Let me start spending some time reading the Quran. Let me spend some more time, you know, reading about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning some hadith, remembering, you know, so many of us, maybe, you know, there's some surahs of the Quran that we know since the last 20 years, 15 years. We're still reading the same surahs. We've never increased. We know like 20 surahs or 30 surahs, and we're still stuck on 20, 30 surahs. But I love Allah. I love Allah so much. I love Allah so much, but I can't sit and read Quran for half an hour. I can't learn under the surah. That's too much for me. I love Rasulullah, but I can't follow his sunnah. I can't do the miswak. And I can't, you know, read my sunnahs. Further is enough. No, so this is the attitude that we have. A lot of us have this attitude where we claim to love Allah and we claim to love Rasulullah. But the reality is, when it comes time to do the action, and when the crunch time comes, we're nowhere to be seen. You know, it's atrocity what's happening in Gaza, right? But a lot of it is our own fault, because we don't worship Allah. You know, the Rasulullah says that Ummah is like one body. It's like one body. If one part of the body hurts, the whole body feels it. If your head hurts, you don't go to it, because your whole body is feeling the pain. Our brothers are there, and they are struggling, and they are dying. But we are here sinning. So how is that us helping our Muslim brothers? And if we can't physically help, the best thing we can do next is what? Worship Allah and stop sinning. So it's very, very important that we understand these things, because it's easy to say, hard to do. You know, Jannah is surrounded by hard things. Jahannam is surrounded by easy things. You want to sin, you can go sin, no problem. And you just want to keep sinning, no problem. But you want to come here and stand up and pray salah and come early to the masjid and pray your sunnahs, that's difficult. Very, very difficult. Why? Shaitan. Shaitan's been here for centuries, for millions and millions of years. Shaitan knows what's going on. He knows all the ins and outs. So if you want to battle and beat Shaitan, then you need to have a bigger power. And who's the bigger power? Allah. And to have Allah, what do we need to do? We need to worship Him, turn to Him, remember Him. So my dear special brothers and elders, please, please, let's all of us make an intention that when these days come about, every day is a blessed day. Every day is a blessed day for a Muslim. You know, so when these special days come about, that we utilize these special days and we utilize them to remember Allah. Okay, not just waste them. Because wasting them is easy. Sleeping through them is easy. But actually using them and, you know, utilizing them to remember Allah, that's the hard thing. And that's what we all need to do. Right? You know, imagine if all of us in the locality here were, imagine everyone was coming to, imagine that, how amazing that feeling would be, that every single person in the locality here, everyone's coming to the masjid. That, do we ever worry about our Muslim brothers? Forget about the non-Muslim people. Do we even worry about our own Muslim brothers, our Muslim neighbors? That, man, do they go to the masjid? No, if they aren't, maybe I should go talk to them, maybe feed them. You know, because sometimes feeding and, you know, giving food brings people to the masjid. So we'll go and feed them, I'll go and talk to them, maybe even go out with the person and, you know, have a little, you know, go for a walk or something, and then we'll talk with them and bring them to the masjid. Right? Because one person you bring to the masjid, imagine that person now changes his life because of you. You brought him to the masjid and now he's coming to the masjid. You know, Mawlana Sulaiman Qatani, he went to a Caribbean country to do a bayan. He went to a few places, right? So he went to a country, I think it was Panama, I can't remember. And when he went to the, he had a busy schedule. So he finished the talk, and after the talk finished, someone came to him and said, oh Sheikh, you know, I need you to come with me, please. The Sheikh goes, listen, I'm really busy, I can't. So he goes, okay. So then the next day, the Sheikh had a bayan, Sheikh Sulaiman, he had a bayan. The same man met him after the talk, after the bayan, and said, Sheikh, please, please, you need to come. So the Shaykh thought, you know what, this must be something serious if it's come to me again. So he said, okay, no problem, I'll come with you. So he came to him and he said to him, so the Shaykh then asked this man, where are you taking me? He says, oh Shaykh, I'm taking you to the man that made me a Muslim, but he's not Muslim anymore himself. So he made him a Muslim. So that person who's talking to the Shaykh, he became Muslim because of him, but that same person is not Muslim anymore. So in this day and age, if we are thinking I'm safe and my iman is safe, trust me, it's not as safe as you think. Right? It's not as safe as you think, because in the hadith Rasulullah says that a person will wake up in the morning and he'll be a Muslim, he'll sleep at night, he'll be a kafir. He'll be non-Muslim. And he'll sleep at night time as a Muslim, wake up in the morning as a non-Muslim. So we are living in this day and age. We are living in these times of trials and tribulations and difficulties where everything is against us. Everything. You put your phone on, you watch an advert, you watch anything. There's something to take you away from Allah. Something. Maybe it's the world, maybe they're, oh, go on a holiday or something. Something. And maybe there's women here, women there on posters, and everything is there. They're pulling us away from the world. What is what's important for me and you is that we avoid all these things and we remember Allah, the Almighty. Because Allah is the one who has the power over everything. If Allah was to destroy us right now, we would be destroyed. And there would be no one there to save us. If the whole world got together to benefit one person, but Allah does not want to benefit this person, no one can benefit this person. If the whole world got together to harm one person, but Allah does not want this person to be harmed, no one can harm this person. That's how our iman should be. That Allah is the doer of everything. That there's nothing that me and you, we don't even lift our own arm up, but Allah is the one that's behind it. Everything we do, Allah is the one. Our being here today, Allah is the one that made us come here today. I walked, but Allah is the one that made me walk. We could have walked anywhere. I could have drove anywhere. But Allah made me come here. You know, back when I was in Scotland, and I remember once I had food at one of the uncle's houses. One of the Pakistani uncles had food at his house. And after the food, it was Salah time. So it's about 15, 20 minutes left. So the uncle said, come, I'll take you in my car. I said, yeah, no problem. So we went in the car and we went to the masjid. Now we got to the masjid and I opened the door, I came out of the car, and uncle was still sat in the car. So I said, uncle, you're not coming to the masjid? I said, no, I'm going to come, I'm going to pay my namaz at home. He's outside the masjid, but Allah never gave him the ability to come in the masjid. So that's how Allah, the tawfiq, the blessing of actually being here, doesn't just come from me and you. We don't, wallahi, there was a time I was doing Jumu'ah Salah, and during Jumu'ah Salah, my phone was buzzing in my pocket. After Jumu'ah Salah, I thought, you know, it must be someone, maybe someone from somewhere who I don't know. And if it's someone I know, how come he's not playing Jumu'ah, right? Anyway, I looked at my phone after Salah and it was someone from the area. So I was thinking, I'm playing Jumu'ah and he's ringing me. Anyway, whatever. After Namaz, after Salah, I went out and he's standing outside with some bags. He went shopping. I said, uncle, did you not play Jumu'ah? And he goes, no, I was standing here waiting for you. So Jumu'ah Salah is going on, but Allah has not given him the tawfiq to come into the masjid. So my dear respected brothers and elders, the tawfiq comes from Allah only. Us being here, it doesn't come from me. I'm not the one, I did this, I came and I sat and I listened and I heard and I did. This I doesn't work here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brought us here. Like I said, we could have been anywhere. We could have been anywhere. We might have even been in this country. We could have been anywhere in the world. But Allah chose, maybe some of us wanted to even go on a holiday this week because it was holidays of school. But maybe Allah thought of something else and then Allah broke your plan and Allah planned for you to actually come to the masjid here today. So we have to understand that Allah is the doer of everything. That we plan and you plan, but Allah is the best of planners. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. That Allah is the best of planners. That whatever plan we have, Allah can break it. That Allah can put us into a plan which is better than the plan that you made. Ayy the Allah used to say that I recognized Allah. And how did I recognize Allah? He said, I recognized Allah through my day. I used to plan, I'm going to do this at this time, do this at this time. Do this. So I used to plan my day. And my day never used to go according to how I planned it. Never. So I planned my day like this. I structured it, timelined it. This time. But my day never went the same way. At this time I was doing something else. This time I was doing something else. That's when I realized that there's something bigger than me. Something that's planning better for me. So that's what we have to recognize and remember. That there is a being up there who is watching me and you all the time. And is planning for me and you. Most important thing is that whilst we are living in this world, how am I going to stand in front of Allah? Ask ourselves every day, every night. How am I going to stand in front of Allah? Am I going to stand in front of Allah as a good Muslim? Or am I going to stand in front of Allah as a person who was just passing through the world and he was doing whatever haram he wanted, whatever wrong he wanted, and sometimes he was praying salah, sometimes he was fasting, sometimes he was doing it, sometimes, and he's half here and he's not half there, he's just everywhere, all over the place, he's messy. Right? So we have to be very, very understanding of this. Right? And it's, like I said, it's the most difficult thing to do, but it's the most rewarding also. You know, the bigger risk, bigger reward. So the bigger, you know, there's not a risk. There's no risk in this, because whatever you are doing is for Allah. So there's no risk, but the reward is huge, because what you are getting in the next world is massive, right? So my dear spirit, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us utilize our time properly. Not just the days of Dhul Hijjah, any time, even today after Salah when we go home, maybe tonight. Let us utilize our time properly, because we need to. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. None of us here are free from sin. Right? None of us, we sin all the time. Right? It's how we turn back to Allah after we sin. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our coming here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever worship we have done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who will worship Him day in, day out. Right? Day in, day out we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember Him. Even in our workplaces when our tongue is free, remember Allah. Do dhikr of Allah. Quietly do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we fearing? Are we fearing the people? Or are we fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those people who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exactly how He told us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who follow the commands of Allah just the way He wants us to be. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah.
First and foremost, Jazakallah khairan to Shaykh for delivering such a very much needed reminder for all of us, where sometimes we're sucked into this world so much that we forget where we are headed, what we are doing as well. So to have these sorts of reminders for each one of us is very important. Inshallah, in the coming months as well, in the coming years, we hope to have these programs more and more, so we can benefit and we can turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, very soon the refreshments will be served. We all requested inshallah to save for the refreshments, some tea and some biscuits and other things as well, inshallah. And then after, of course, Maghrib Salah will take place as well. Jazakumullah.